Good evening. Before I start, I would like to, I have a request, if you will. Just put your cell away. Turn it off. And I'm going to ask the young ones and the young people that perhaps being the last night at Grove City, we might have the tendency to try to continue our conversation during the gospel meeting. We might have the tendency to chit-chat a little bit. I'm going to really ask you before the Lord that you will just set this phone aside and just forget your friends for a few minutes. We love our friends. But I just want your full attention, because I want to share with you the glad tidings that God has to offer you. But sometimes God might give me a word of warning so that I might consider it seriously, the invitation that you have received for the whole week. So I want you to understand that this is the last day of Grove City. Now keep it deep inside that this is the last day of Grove City. And I want to read from three different places. And if you don't have a Bible and you would like one at the end of the meeting, please come and see me. Would love to give you a Bible. And especially if you will establish a relationship with the Lord Jesus as your Savior, so that you can read more and more of His love. The first scripture is from the book of Malachi. And just listen carefully. It's not too many verses, just a few verses. The book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. And it says this in verse 2, I have loved you, said the Lord. I have loved you, said the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7, I hope you're listening carefully. But the end of all things is at hand. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Go down to verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall be the end of them that obeyed not the gospel of God? And the last verse I want to read is from Jude. And it's one verse. Maybe we'll read the two verses. Verse 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly, among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches with ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And I would like you tonight to highlight against him. And that's against my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think we have heard it sufficiently this week that the gospel has been presented from Sunday night up to now. And I think, brethren, made it very clear in every night that there is only one way of salvation, because the Bible is very precise. God does not bring confusion. Man brings confusion. It is man's will that might tell me that there are many ways to glory, many ways to heaven. There are many ways to God. There are many ways for me. I have an option. I have a variety that I can choose from, so that one day I will have a portion, and my portion will be in heaven. That's man's world. That is the attack or the lies of the enemy, Satan, so that the potential always that you will make the wrong choice. But in God's world, there is a different message. It's a message of love. It's a message of grace. It's a message of mercy. It's a message of glory. But it is very exclusive. You don't have too many choices. You don't have too many ways. You don't have too many thoughts in relationship to that way that God, in the Bible that we have in our hands, have proclaimed. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There is only one way. There is only one name. There is only one person. And that person is none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. So the message is the same. Believe it or not, it's the same. It's a different speaker. But it's the same message of Jesus and His love. I want to keep that wonderful verse I have read from the book of Malachi, that God has been declaring, I have loved you. But I felt this is perhaps might be my first time on Friday night I'm giving the gospel. I'm not sure. Perhaps it might be my first time on Friday night, the last day of a conference. And I was thinking about these verses that we read of Peter. That this is an end of a conference, but in the Bible, God, in a very clear way, He said, listen, the end of all things is at hand. You know, brethren have discussed with you throughout the whole week that there is no guarantees in life. There is none of us that can stand up right now and make such a claim that when this meeting is over, he will still be alive. None of us can do that claim. It's reality. It is reality. There is no claims like this. How many people were here last Friday, a year ago? Let me see your hands. So if I ask questions, because you might have seen that there's a lot of hands going up. And perhaps you weren't here last year. But at the last day of a conference, I dare to say, for every single person that raised their hand, it was reality to us that the end of all things is at hand. It was reality. A dear brother of ours, a young man. And if you never heard of him, his name was Joey Gaspero. The last day of the conference last year, the Lord called his name. And when I say that the Lord called his name, means our dear brother slept in Jesus. He died. So that you'll understand. A young man. And the greatest thing about it is that we know where he is. Because there is a person that made a difference in his life. Because there is a Savior that have touched his soul. Because he could have stood up and he could have declared, "For I know my Redeemer liveth." And the reason I bring this young man, not because he is very dear to us, but what happened to you if the Lord will do the same this year? That the last hours of a conference, that the Lord might call your name. What will happen? Where would you be? The end of all things is at hand. This means the end of your life here on earth. The end of all things. We're going to come to this all things. But where will you spend eternity if God called your name tonight? When Joey's name was called, he was called by his Creator and he was called by his Redeemer. But I want to tell you, my dear friend, my dear child, we have some children has been sitting in the front. And none of us know your heart. As long as you understand that you must be saved, then you have the ability to understand that love have every desire, God's love, desire to save your souls. I am not sure who is saved and who is not, because only the Lord knows them that are His. But the reality of it is that God might call you even tonight. And if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus, the one through the history of mankind, He is still declaring in 2016, "I have loved you." And if He would call your name tonight, you will be called by a Creator. But also you will get to know that person when you stand before Him as a judge. Our loved ones that are taken to heaven right now, they are in His very presence because He promised. The end of all things is at hand. Remember that verse. The end of all things is at hand. What is so dear to your heart? What is keeping you from coming to the Lord Jesus? Why haven't you now in 6 days, 6 nights, have come and sit with somebody, sit with your parents, sit with your friend, whoever brought you here, the brother that presented the gospel and said, "Listen, I know that the end of all things is at hand. I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus. I want to be saved. What must I do to be saved?" Believe on the Lord Jesus. God is not looking for anything for you to do. God has something to give you. It's His unspeakable gift. None other but His beloved Son. What is keeping you? What is the thing that is so precious to you? My little child, let me talk to the young ones. Those 10-year-old and 11-year-old and 12-year-old. What is so dear to you? What do you always love to do? The iPhone and the game and the Xbox and the white box and the Z box and everything that you want to get from Toys R Us? And when you come home, that's the first thing that you want to do is you want to get to the phone, you want to get to the Xbox, you want to get to all these fancy stuff. Is that dear to you? The end of all things is at hand. You're not going to have an iPhone in the coming day. Even Apple will not exist no longer because the end of all things is at hand. What is dear to you? You might tell me it's not the iPhone, it's the Samsung. Samsung is coming to an end. What is so precious to you? Is it all these sports that the world is so much overtaken with the sports figures? You put any individual in this world under the microscope and you will see all the failures. And how also they are as sinners as we are, that we all came short of the glory of God. What is so keeping you, still keeping you from Christ? Remember that the end of all things is at hand. Means it's quickly coming. The question that was raised in verse 17, and what would the end be, shall be, for those that obeyed not the gospel of God. You want to know what would be the end? It's the verse that I have read in Jude 14 and 15. Because people are always occupied with the end. In fact, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, they came to the Lord Jesus and he says, when is the end of the world? That was the question, the second half of their question. When is the end of the world? Everybody wants to know, when is the end of things? And people, they are believing all the lies of the devil and they're living in this world as if there is nothing coming to an end. And the scriptures that Brother Chuck has reminded us yesterday, that there is none that is righteous, there is none that is seeking after God. There is no fear of God in the heart of man at all. But remember what you are listening and you're hearing tonight, that the end of all things is at hand. Whether you believe it or not, whether you believe in Christ or not, whether you trusted in the grace of God or not, whether you embrace the mercy of God or not, or whether you accepted God's love or not, that's not going to change the truth. It's not going to change the truth. The end of all things is at hand. And God is drawing us a picture to understand that what the end is for those that obey not the glad tidings of God. God is not in the business just to tell you words and then change his mind. God cannot lie. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said that God cannot deny himself. So if his precious word would say, he that has the Son has life, he means 100%. And he that doesn't have the Son shall never see life, but the wrath of God shall abide on him. God does not like change words and play with words and try to bring confusion. God is very clear. And he cannot lie. So the answer is, there is a horrible end coming for those that will obey not the gospel. And I'm giving you just one aspect of it. And the reason I read from Jude is you might not understand it because you might not be familiar with the Bible. But the first man, now think of this for a moment. When Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun, nothing new under the sun. Maybe the evilness of man abounds, but there is nothing new under the sun. What do I mean by that? The first man that prophesied in the Bible was this man, Enoch. We would have never thought that he prophesied if we didn't come to the New Testament. But his first prophecy in the Bible. Now this man was living in the early part of creation. He was living probably, 1200 to 1350 BC. No, not BC, forgive me. The first 1300 of man's existence. This is a man that lived thousands of years ago. And the first prophecy that he can give is, behold, the Lord cometh in the midst of his saints to execute judgment. Man, that early part of creation, that meant thousands of years ago, that there is a man that is proclaiming judgment, that judgment is coming. Let me tell you, my dear friend, my dear child, listen carefully, please, I beg you. Because tonight is a very decisive night. It's the last night of Grove City. The conference will end today because the end of all things is at hand. Judgment is God's strange work. He always had a desire to bless man. He always wanted man to fellowship, to talk with him, to have a relationship. From the beginning of creation, God does not delight in judging and in the death of the sinner. He doesn't like it. It's his strange work. God is a God of love. He always has every good intention for mankind. He always has a desire to save. He always has a desire to establish a relationship. He always has a desire that morning by morning He can commune with you and with me. You know what God's desire? He takes a man like Abraham, and the Bible says he was the friend of God. The Lord Jesus, when He was here on earth, He says, I will not call you servants anymore, but you are my friends. They like to have an intimate relationship with every individual that is ushered into this world. Young, middle age, old, it doesn't matter. That's the desire of God. He doesn't like to come out with judgment. But the problem is mankind and you that is sitting here for weeks, for a few days in this week. You are forgetting that God also is a holy, righteous God. He cannot do something contrary to His nature. And because sin that has tainted you, because David could say, I was shapen in iniquity. He was shapen even in his mother's womb. He was being shapen, but in iniquity. So God says, I don't have a desire to judge. But sin has kept man from me. Sin has brought death into man. And the Bible said it is appointed once for man once to do what? To die. And after death, what happens? Judgment. And all this appointment that the Bible speaks about, it is not from God. Because God does not like to judge. But it is because of your failure and mine. Because it is of your sins and mine. Because we have listened to the enemy. And there was a total separation from God. And yet God is still dealing in love with me. He is still extending grace for me. He is still desired to show me the richness of His mercy. He is still trying to tell me, come on. I have a remedy. I have a solution. And the Bible calls the gospel as we know it, the glad tidings. It is not only the glad tidings of God, but it is the glad tidings concerning His Son. That the message of God's love is that I have sent my only begotten Son, my unique Son, to die for you on Calvary's cross. You have to deal with the Son. You have to deal with the Lord Jesus. There is no other way. God is still saying in 2016, I gave my only begotten Son, for God so loved the world. Although sin has separated me from God, and if I don't accept Christ, He separated me from Him eternally. But yet God is still in love divine. He says there is still a day of grace. This is today's an acceptable time. Today, if you heard my voice, harden not your hearts. It's today. But you have to come and accept my Son. Because someone has to pay for sin. This is why God cannot lie. He cannot deny Himself. Somebody, the soul that sinneth, must, let me hear it from you. I want to see if you know your scripture a little bit. The soul that sinneth must, it must die. So because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. All these things are a result of our own sins, our own doings, our own arrogance. That mankind in 2016 are turning their backs to God more than ever. The end of all things is at hand. God is still reaching out for your soul tonight. You can make a decision. And that decision you can make is that God have made His Son to be the only way to heaven. You can make a decision by coming to Christ Because let me tell you, the end of all things is at hand. I told you before, I'm going to tell you all the end of things. I told you about your iPhone and I told you about your games. The end of all things is at hand. That world that we are so much overwhelmed with, the greatness of man in building these wonderful, huge buildings, all the technology and all the boasting of man of how much they are inventing things. They will all be dissolved with all its elements. Because the end of all things is at hand. And the only way that God will deliver you from an end of punishment, from an end of judgment, from an end of perishing, because after the end of your life here on earth, there is a judgment coming. But the Bible says, therefore, there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. The only way that you can escape judgment, the only way that you can escape hell, the only way that you can escape the lake of fire is in trusting the Lord Jesus, the one who died. Let me tell you, you and I are so afraid of death. That's why the Bible always speaks of death, because when I die, it's going to bring me into judgment without Christ. But really, he was called the King of Terror. He terrified people. He brought them under bondage because they were so afraid of this mentality of death. But let me tell you about my Savior. When he entered into the domain of death, when my Lord, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, when my Lord entered into the domain of death, death itself trembled. Now let me repeat that to you. When my Lord entered into death, the domain of death, death itself that is the king of terror as far as mankind is concerned, but when my Lord entered his domain, death trembled. My Lord was buried for 3 days. The Bible says that he was buried for 3 days, 1 Corinthians 15. And he was risen on the third day. Listen, the Bible says that death, love is as strong as death, because when death takes hold of somebody, they cannot let them go. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he entered into the domain of death, he was able to conquer it, because the Bible says that on the third day, he was raised victoriously from amongst the dead. This is the Savior. This is the Lord that we're presenting you with. The one, because of your sake, because he loved you, because he wants to save your soul, he came in the grace, for the grace of God has appeared unto all men unto salvation. The Lord Jesus didn't have to come here in humanity. He was the blessed God. They were individuals. They were living creatures that are crying, holy, holy, holy. But because he loved you, I really hope and wish you will take hold of his love. To know and to understand that the measure of his love for you, that he came to enter into death, and then to show you that you will be justified, that there is nothing that will touch your soul if you will put your trust in him. The Bible says, and he was raised on the third day. The Epistle of Romans says that he was raised for our justification. You will go your way justified. And if it is God that justifieth, who can bring any condemnation? Who can bring any charge against God's elect, against God's people that Christ has redeemed with his precious blood? But the Lord Jesus is the one who went into death. The Lord Jesus is the one who was raised victoriously from amongst the dead. And let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus is the one that was ascended on high. You know that heaven never received one like him ever before. But he delighted God with his work And God has accepted the payment of the Lord Jesus. And you know what the payment is? That if you will come even for Him tonight, if you'll come to Him, God has accepted the payment and the Lord Jesus has paid it for you on Calvary's cross. I always like to put the cross as a transaction that took place between Christ and God. And when I came to the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, I always like to picture it this way. Now think of all the millions and millions and millions of people that have trusted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, because He's the one who died. He's the one who was buried. He's the one that was raised. He's the one that has been ascended. And He's the one who was invited to sit at the right hand of God until I make your enemies thy footstool. There is no one like Him. He's unique. But when the Lord Jesus paid my sins, it was in these times when He was there on Calvary's cross. And He said, this is the payment. This is the payment. Put your name there. My young girl, my young boy, put your name there. We all have sinned and come short. There is none that is righteous. Without Christ, we would all have been perishing. He's the only remedy to save your soul. And if you will come to Him tonight, even tonight, and accept Him as your personal Savior, you will see in the eyes of faith that there, when He was on Calvary's cross, He was paying for your sins. So great, so many. That's the one that we've been presenting with. But there is an end of all things. There is. Unfortunately, there is. And we say unfortunately, not because for those that have trusted Christ. We love the end of all things. You know why? Because we're going to spend eternity with Him. But we say it's unfortunate for the person that up to now did not trust in this risen Savior, this glorified Savior. So you have heard the gospel Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. What would the end be? Are you living in the world of 2016? Are you witnessing all the ungodly deeds? Are you listening to all these ungodly words that they have spoken against Him? Your choice is yours tonight, wherever you're sitting. You can come to Christ. Because if you don't come to Christ, the Bible says that He will bring every work to judgment. And not only judgment, not only every work, but even Solomon tells us, every word you have spoke against my Lord. Every time you have heard the glad tidings and you turned your back to it, it's not for me. He's going to bring it to your remembrance. Because God is going to make sure to require from you, what have you done with my son? What have you done? Why didn't you accept the way that I have showed you? Unfortunately, it will be too late for you, my dear friend. It will be too late. The end of all things is at hand. And once again, if your life ended even tonight, it's too late without the Savior. That's why we bring our children to the conference. We want you to have fun. We want you to swim. We want you to play. We want you to enjoy your friendship with other children. But the greatest desire for your parents, for your mothers, for your fathers, is that you will be saved. Because they know so well that the end of all things is at hand. And God is going to allow the Lord Jesus to come and execute judgment upon all the ungodly. And every person, as far as the Bible is concerned, that having accepted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior in the sight of heaven, they are the ungodly. You might think, well, I don't do bad things. I don't bring a bomb and bomb everything. I don't go to a place and shoot everyone. Well, listen, as far as the Scripture is concerned, we are all sinners and ungodly. And the only one that can make the change and bring you into the family of God is none other but Christ Jesus. That's the gospel of God. That's the gospel of the glory of God. It's a story of glory, not only of salvation. Because God has something great for you. Because His Son has done the work. He has paid for your sins and mine. Because Christ has conquered death. Because Christ has been risen. And He's seated at the right hand of God. God has every intention to bring you into something that is so glorious. No wonder the Bible says about the Lord Jesus, He is the captain of salvation, bringing many sons to glory. It's a gospel of glory. It is not only a gospel of grace that God desires to save you, but also it's a gospel of glory that Christ wants to bring you into the very house of God and call you one of His sons. No wonder the prodigal, when he repented, he changed direction. You have to repent tonight, for the end of all things is at hand. It is that serious tonight. It is that decisive tonight. You have to take a stand because the end of all things is at hand. Christ Jesus has done it all. Christ Jesus cried on Calvary's cross, "It is finished." So you can either trust in His finished work. You can either trust that He can pay for your sins and trust Him tonight. Or you are telling God in the present moment that I don't need your son. When God says, "For so loved the God, so loved the world that He gave," what you are telling the blessed God that I refuse the gift of your son. And the day will be coming when God would refuse you. There is an end. And the end for some might be very unfortunate. If the Lord Jesus will come tonight, He might take His loved ones, He might take us all, and you might remain behind, and you will come to the Lord even when you die, even if He called your voice, your name even tonight, and you will knock to the Lord, "Please take me in, please take me in." And that loving Savior, that Savior that loved me so much, that Savior that He gave His life for me, that Savior that every redeemed one can join with the Apostle Paul, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That same loving Savior. The one who cried in the book of Malachi, "I have loved you." It's the same Savior who's going to tell you, "I know you not." The same person. The same person who says, "I have loved you. Come to me. Repent from your ways. Change direction." It's the same person. When it's too late, He will tell you, "I know you're not. I know you're not." It's like when you see a little child playing with fire. My dear friend, my dear child, you are playing with fire. You are playing with fire. There isn't more we can say. The same words brethren have uttered before. Come. Just come. has paid it all. Just come and bow the knee to Him. Bow and confess Him. Today, in the day of grace. It's very simple. Come and trust Christ Jesus as your personal Savior. Because it might be the end of all things for you, even tonight. Could be. It could be we have witnessed it, we have seen it, we have heard it, we have observed it. Tonight. It could be your last night, I don't know. Why don't you come to Christ? The one that loved you. The one that gave His life for you. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of crying to God even tonight, have mercy on me, I'm the sinner. I'd like to close with this last word of warning. If you would refuse to confess Christ tonight, to come to Him as your Lord and Savior. If you would refuse to bow the knee to Him tonight as your Lord and Savior, the day is coming when God is going to make sure that you will bow it and you will confess that this blessed Savior was trying to present Him to you is Lord. But I'm afraid when God will make you to confess it in the coming day, it will be too late. Just come to the Savior. My time is up. I normally don't choose a hymn at the end of the gospel. I sing one chorus. Because that chorus is very dear and near to my own heart. And most of you would know it because almost every year we sing it. So for those that don't know it, we're going to sing it twice. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. This is what you can do tonight. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. We're going to sing it twice, and we're going to close in prayer. If I could go on my knees and beg you, I'll be willing to do it. That for you to consider Christ, for the end of all things is at hand. Tonight might be the end of your life. I don't know. We have seen it. We have witnessed it. If God called your name, where would you spend eternity? Let's sing it. We'll pray. And we'll leave quietly. And if you have any desire, and if you have accepted the Lord Jesus, we'd love to give you a Bible. We'd love to talk with you. If you want to talk to your mother, to your father, please do so. But do it today. Do it right now. Do it tonight. Because He is still calling you. So in this such a simple way, just listen to the song if you don't know it. We're going to sing it twice. And just ask the Lord Jesus into my heart. Into my heart.
more time.
Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we are very thankful that Thou has loved us. We have heard Thy voice echoing even tonight. I have loved you, said the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you because of Thy love. Thou will make it very clear to each and every one of us what will the end be. For those that would reject Thee. Lord Jesus, we pray in a very simple way before Thee tonight that Thou will draw souls to Thyself even tonight. We're thankful for a wonderful week. We're thankful for all the gospel messages that went out. And we would pray, Lord Jesus, that Thou will touch the souls, even tonight, to come to Thee and confess Thee, to be their Lord and Savior, for Thou art the Savior of the world. We give Thee thanks, Lord Jesus, and we bless Thy holy name. Amen. Amen. Please, like every night, just leave extremely quietly. And we trust that if there is someone that wants to talk, we are here down there.